Well, good morning, everyone. Woo. Somebody had too much. I think we maybe ate a little too turkey. We're too much turkey. We're maybe still a little bit lethargic. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, now we're somewhat awake. All right, I like that. Well, it's happy Thanksgiving. So glad to see so many faces here after celebration and know that family's been in town and life gets a little chaotic around this time of year. Before we actually get into talking, wanted to actually have, if we can kind of pull back and actually have just a family moment, wanted to recognize someone. And so Cheryl, Cheryl Cordier, before you leave, I was actually going to talk about someone that's near and dear to you. For those of you that don't know, this week, Cheryl's mom went to be with the Lord. And so one, our hearts go out to you. And I share this as a family so that as you know about this, one, you can go and part of how God comforts us is through us of going up and go up, give them a hug, say you're thinking of them, we're praying for you. But I wanted to share something about your mom because I was actually thinking about a story around this time of year because Christmas last year, Tristan had to correct me on this. Christmas last year, her mom was here not for the Christmas Eve service, but for the children's program. And just to get an idea of what kind of woman this is, after the service, I think you had told me about this, is she came up and one of the things that she was so concerned about is she said, boy, this was a great performance. The kids did such a great job, but I'm just worried that the gospel wasn't shared clearly enough. And that's the kind of woman that this woman was. Her hope was in Jesus. And so when we talk about this is a woman whose hope was in Jesus, whose faith was entirely in Christ alone and his sacrifice. We're giving thanks that she is with the Lord. She now knows a new reality. Right now, what we know in part is that Jesus is reigning and on the throne. She now knows fully and sees him in his full glory. And so what a celebration, what a day that she had of giving thanks in the presence of our Savior the day after Thanksgiving. So just wanted to celebrate with you in that, but also our hearts go out to you. We're grieving with you, and we love you. So our hearts are with you. So as we think through that and think through this reality of Christ reigning and ruling, Ty, I'm actually going to see if we can actually do something here real quick. Can we go back to Come Thou Fount, and specifically, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Can we pull up those words? I was thinking through this as we were just worshiping God and singing. Sometimes, you know, when you're singing and all of a sudden you're caught up in the song and all of a sudden you're just reflecting, man, these words resonate so much to my heart. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And one of the things that sticks out to me in this is there's the other slide in there is, it's the bind my wandering heart to thee. See if you can pull that one up. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. My heart is so prone to wander. And the reality of what we've been talking about is we've been talking about Thanksgiving. And one of the things that I've been wondering about, and as I was sitting there worshiping and thinking about, man, God, let your goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Man, I can so relate to the fact that my heart is so prone to wander. And I wonder if you are the same out there, that your heart, it's so easy to wander away from God. And the question that I had this morning and that I was thinking about is, wow, what is it that actually helps? What's the thing that actually helps bind our hearts? He talks about the goodness of God, but there's also something else that Scripture talks about that actually helps bind our hearts to God, that helps prevent us from being a people who are constantly prone to wander. And what is that? So this morning, what we're actually going to be looking at is Deuteronomy 8. We'll take a look at the passage. We're actually going to read through the whole text. So should we stand up for that one? Yeah, some people are going, yeah, if you can't. Well, whoa. Tim's like so excited. And I see people who are really excited to stand up. We'll do it here in just a minute. I appreciate you wanting to stand up too. We will do that in just a moment. But it's a long text. But one of the reasons that we do that here at church is it's so important. We're a church that is a group of people that are formed around the words that God gives us. And I think it's important that we stand and honor, that we recognize. And so we do take time here at Cheyenne Berean to read large sweeps of text. And it's important that we do that. I'm hoping that this isn't the only place that that happens, that it actually happens when you're not in here. But as we're thinking through this aspect of Deuteronomy, before we get into the text, I want to catch us up on where we are. Maybe some of you haven't read through the text and don't remember all of the circumstances that are going to come to this certain point. But the people of Israel have been dramatically rescued from slavery in Egypt. Now, they were there, and God, there's the 10 plagues that happen. If you've watched Prince of Egypt, I think it is, the Disney version of it, you know somewhat about the plagues. But God demonstrates his power and might dramatically on a scale that hasn't really been seen in that time. And he shows himself as powerful, as the one and only God, rescuing the people from Egypt, from slavery. To the point that not only do the Egyptians know about this, but this story spread all throughout the Middle East. People all over knew about this God who rescued a people from slavery in Egypt by miraculous power and demonstration of amazing feats. So here the Israelites have been wandering. They take a journey through the Sinai Peninsula. They come to the point where they're about ready to enter into Israel. They send in spies, and then what we know is the spies go in, they bring back a report, and it is a great land, just like God had told them. But they're fearful. They're concerned about the people that live in the land. They don't know if they can go into this land and take it because of the opposition that they're going to face when they go in there. There's walled cities, and how are we as a group of people, they're wondering, how are we going to go up against these people who have walled cities? We can't do this. We're just a few people. How on earth are we going to do this? They bring back a report and say, listen, there are these huge people in there, and we can't do this. There's no way that we can go in. And because of this, then they wander in the wilderness. Until the people who had disobeyed God, who didn't trust God and his promise that he was going to deliver this land to them, die off. And so now we come to Deuteronomy, and they're on the cusp. They're getting ready to come into the land. They're in Moab, just across from the Jordan River, waiting to go into this land. And Moses is going to give an address to these people, and he's going to talk to them and give them courage to go in and do what they're supposed to do. They've seen God do miraculous things, not only in Egypt, but he's provided for them their hunger, food, clothing, shoot, even their feet. He mentions that not even your feet swole because of this. And watch and pay attention to how God provided in such a miraculous way. And then here's the thing that I want us to think about. Disobedience is going to be talked about here in Deuteronomy, but is that the problem? Is the problem disobedience? That's the question that I bring to us this morning. What is the problem of wandering heart? How do we see it? What does he describe is the root cause of what's causing this action that they're taking against God? So join with me this morning, stand with me. I promise I won't change it. There we go. For those that aren't able to stand the whole time or aren't able to stand, please stand in your hearts. So give full attention to the Word of God this morning. Listen to the Word of God. Deuteronomy 8 says this, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone. But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones and iron are out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall be blessed, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you've eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Pray with me, and then afterwards we'll grab a seat. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that it not only is something that we read for enjoyment, but it's something that by it we are instructed about who you are. God, it's something that we're even instructed about who we are and when, what kind of people we are, how we're prone to different things. God, my heart this morning is that we'd be mindful of what you're instructing us from your word. Moses had an intent that as he was writing to these people, he was wanting to give them certain instruction that would help them as they got ready to go into a land. God, we're not going in and trying to conquer a land, but the reality is in each and every one of our lives, there are battles and there are victories that must be won, that we do well to take heed to what Moses is trying to tell people for those who are getting ready to go into battle, whether that's difficulties we're facing in our life, whether that is problems that are happening, or maybe it's just things going on in work that we don't know what to do with. God, would your instruction speak so loudly to us this morning that we'd be changed by it, by your word and your name. Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. So as we look through the text, here's what we're going to do. Let's see what we got from it. So this is actually going to be a part of group participation. So I mentioned that disobedience wasn't the problem. What was the problem? Let's see if we can throw it out. Start mentioning, what do you think was the problem that Moses was addressing with this people? Thinking you did it on your own. Good. Other things that you notice. What were things that the text speaks about that was the problem that these people were facing? Forgot. And then there's one over here. Faithfulness. Forgetfulness. Great. And that actually is the first thing that I'd point out. So many times, when I was reading through this text originally, I'm reading through it and I'm going, okay, this text is about obedience and I really need to think through and focus on obedience. And so I started thinking through obedience. Okay, I need to obey. But then one of the things that I realized is that obedience was really just a symptom. And disobedience was a symptom. That wasn't the real issue that was being addressed here. The real issue was just mentioned, forgetfulness, remembering. The people, the big problem that was happening with this people that Moses was trying to ensure that they didn't do is don't forget. Don't forget. Why? because it is so easy to do. So easy to do. It's easy for me to forget in a variety of different ways. Maybe some of you can relate to this. It's easy to forget my own birthday. If it's easy to forget my own birthday, it's also easy to sometimes forget my wife's birthday. Think it's maybe actually the date that we started dating. So it is so easy for us to forget. Now, those are minuscule things. But the big thing that Moses was concerned for these people is that they would forget not just a random date, not just random things, but they would forget who and what God had done for them. And so he takes great time to specifically spell out everything that God had done. Now, why is he trying to do this? The specific thing that he's trying to point them to is the character of God. He wants to remind them what kind of God that they actually worship and follow. If we could move to that character of God slide. There we go. So what do we learn about God through this passage in Deuteronomy 8? We see the faithfulness of God. We notice how he faithfully led them through the wilderness and he provided for their every needs. We can see that he delivered them from Egypt in 8:14. There's a variety of different things that he mentions through the text and says, listen, not only did he lead you, but he fed you, he clothed you, he kept your feet from swelling. In a variety of different ways, God miraculously provided and showed his faithfulness to these people. Well, why was he doing all of this? One of the things that we look down in verse 8:18, it says that he may confirm his covenant. It's about keeping a promise. God had promised this people that I'm going to take you into this land and I'm going to give it to you. And this is actually about God fulfilling on a promise that he made to them. This is about his character, his faithfulness, his steadfastness, his love, that he's doing this for this people. We can even see by the description of the land and how he describes it. What were some of the ways that he describes this land that they were going into? Talk to me. What were some of the ways that he describes it? This is group participation. A land of wheat and barley. So, hey man, that's sounding good, right? I like bread. Good. Fountain, water, rains. Other ways that he describes it. Precious metals. Land with brooks. I think they belonged there. Way to go, Mr. Brad Brooks. I didn't know you guys lived there. That maybe is your family origin. No, I'm kidding. Land of brooks. Man, this land was going to provide for them in their every need. And how does he describe, how was it going to take care of them? They were going to be well fed. All, every need that they had, this land was going to provide it. And God was going to ensure that. In fact, as they obeyed, we later see in Deuteronomy that he was going to promise to send rain on these people. And then that would ensure that they had crops. Not only is he going to provide staples like grain that would help them for making bread. It would also provide what? What else needs grain? Cattle? Barley? Cattle? This land was going to provide for the staples of these people. But not only was it going to provide for the staples, one of the most interesting things, when my wife and I went to Israel, we learned this, that what were they? Number 3 in citrus and fruit? Number 2 in the nation, Israel. Israel was number 2, or at least at the time, number 2 in the production of citrus fruits. Number 2 in the nation. We're looking at a nation, or in the world. This is number 2 in the world for citrus production. Now, this is a nation that is the size from here in Cheyenne up to Wheatland, and the width of it is from Laramie to Wheatland. This is a small land, and this land provides in such rich ways, and that's how God designed this land, that it was going to provide for their needs. So God, his character shines through, that he's a God who shows faithfulness. He provides for these people. He loves these people. The other thing that we can learn about this, about God, is his goodness toward people. Notice what he says, that the reason that he did all of these things is for their good. And if you even look at right at the beginning, he says that I'm doing this that you may, he's asking them to obey, that you may live and multiply, verse 1, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. God is interested in their good. He's provided for them, and he actually is doing all of these things, providing for them so that they can point and look to the goodness of God. And they can celebrate that. The other thing that we learn in this text is about the condition of people, though. See, there's something that we learn about the Israelites, and before we start pointing fingers at the Israelites, this isn't just indicative of them as a people. This is also indicative of each and every one of us. The thing that we learn about them is that they were prone to pride. We see passages like, that he might humble you. Well, a person that needs humbled is a prideful person. Testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments. He was concerned about eventually if they would get into this land that eventually their heart would be lifted up and they would think, wait a minute, this was us. Look what we've done. Look what we've built. Look at how hard we've worked and what we've put our mind and our hearts to. Man, we're great. We are such a great people. Now, is this just the Israelites that this happens with? No, this is indicative of each and every one of us. That it's so easy for us to put ourselves at the work that we do and go, wow, I'm pretty special. Dang, I'm good. And Moses was concerned that these people, they would grow prideful in the time that they were there and not remember what God had done for them. And the reason that they were where they were was because of the faithfulness and love of God. Well, what was the solution to all of this? And how does this even relate to Thanksgiving? The solution that he keeps mentioning to them is for them to actually do one thing. And I have three different things that I'm going to encourage us with this morning from the text. And then what I'd like us to do is actually move into communion. So before we actually move into communion, the first thing that we need to realize from this text, the greatest way to avoid continuing down this path is to remember. Remember. Remember's repeated all throughout. Remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you. And forget the Lord your God. Remember the Lord your God. If you forget the Lord your God, his whole concern in here is that they wouldn't remember, that they would stop remembering, that they'd forget. Now, it's emphasized to not forget. So one of the things that I ask myself is, why is it that they'd be forced to remember? Well, it's so easy for us to forget. So I was just curious about forgetting and forgetfulness. Do any of you struggle with remembering? Come on, be honest. We're in church. Jesus sees you. I see that hand. So I was, okay, finally, I see that hand. There's confession in the front row. There'll be an altar call afterwards. So I was just curious about forgetfulness. So I looked up online to figure out, okay, so forgetfulness happens. We all admit that we struggle with remembering. So what are things that actually, why is it that we struggle with remembering? Why is that something that happens so often with us? And so in looking through some of it, one of the things that I noticed is that they pointed to a few different things that make us more susceptible to forgetting. And some of those things were stress. So when I'm stressed, and I love this because I've talked to my kids about this. For those of you that are younger and you get down and you're getting ready to take that test, all of a sudden, what's going on in your heart, right? You're getting ready to take a test and you're like, your heart is all of a sudden beating all through the roof and you're going, oh my goodness. And you start to panic. There's stress that's produced in your body. Now, the wonderful thing about sometimes with stress is it can actually help you perform, but when you're too stressed, guess what happens? I can't perform anymore. In fact, I can't even retrieve the information that I have stored away in memory. It's not there anymore because I'm stressed. And so one of the things that they point to is when I'm stressed, not only can I not learn new information, but I can't retrieve it. So stress is one of the things that can hinder us in remembering. The other thing that I noticed that with forgetfulness is this: sleep. Lack of sleep. I see one person yawning. When we're more tired, we're more prone to forget. That sounds natural, right? Of course. It's hard for me to remember when I'm tired. What else? What are other things that contribute to that? The other one that contributes to that is multitasking. Now, women, how many of you as women can multitask? Oh, yeah. How about men? Okay. Yeah, I see one liar in the room. All right. Here's the reality of what most studies have shown with multitasking. Nobody can do it. We like to think that we can. We like to think that we can focus on multiple different aspects, but here's the reality, we can't. Our minds aren't designed that way. Okay, so how does this all relate back to this whole issue of remembering and thanksgiving? Well, one of the things that Moses was concerned about for this people is that they would get into this land and all of a sudden they would get about these different things in the land. They would start working, producing crops, getting things from the ground like gold and other things. And they would start to produce all of these things and they would forget. So I would get caught up in the busyness of life and I would forget. Now, when I'm stressed, when I'm multitasking, when I'm lacking sleep, most likely is I'm pretty dang busy. Right? And if you look at the text, one of the things that Moses was concerned about is you are going to get into this land and get about everyday life and you are going to forget. And that happens not only then, but it happens here in America. That we forget, and why do we forget? We forget because we get so busy and caught up with all of these things. Praise God that we're moving into a season here where it's going to be silent night and peace on earth and goodwill to men. It is going to be chaos. Christmas is chaos, right? There's Christmas parties. There's all of these different things that happen. And the reality for each and every one of us is we're trying to add more to our plate, and that causes stress. It causes multitasking. It causes all of these things. And what happens as a result of it? I can't keep everything going, and I forget. Something has to die in my life. And what Moses was concerned about for these people is that what they would trim was the one who had made it all possible. In pursuit of all of their different things, that they would forget the one person that made everything possible and was providing for them, and they would neglect him. So I move to my second point. What do we do in light of this? My second point would be this. Slow down. Okay, I know I'm speaking a different language right now. This may as well be Greek to American culture. Slow down. We don't know how to do this very well. I don't know how to do this very well. I was just talking to somebody before I got up to preach, and one of the things that they asked me is, hey, you know, how are people out of the house yet? Has things been chaotic? And I'll be honest, man, when you have family coming in and you have a variety of different things happening, man, there's a lot happening in your life. So is what I mean by slow down is what I mean is I have to cease doing everything. Well, I do need to stop. I do need to slow down on some things, but I'm not asking you to just cease all work, even though that would be a wise move. Not all work, Gia. We still need this place cleaned. We'll add some more things. No, I'm kidding. Slow down. How on earth do I do that, though? Why is this such a big problem for us to slow down? One of the things that Moses mentions, he says, beware lest you say in your heart, my power, my might, by my hand I've gotten these things. See, one of the reasons that it's so hard for us to slow down is that one of the reasons it's so hard for me, I should say, to slow down is that I assume that the reason this world spins is my effort. And if any of you are honest in here, you would actually probably be in the same boat as me. If I don't do this, things are going to fall apart. This world may actually collapse in on itself, black hole, bad news, and people are going to die and lose their livelihood if I stop moving. Man, that is thinking very high of myself and the importance of me. See, one of the things that happened is even in Genesis 1, we see God institute what's called Sabbath, where he actually ceased from any activity. This is God of the universe. He did something for their good and said, you actually need to observe this. Why were they supposed to do this? Why were they supposed to practice Sabbath where they would cease from activity? It wasn't just stopping from work. It was stopping from work so that they could acknowledge something. It wasn't them who kept the cosmos running. The reason that the cosmos was ticking was not them. They could cease behavior. They could cease doing and producing because God was the one who was actually orchestrating and putting everything together. Do you believe that this morning? That you can actually pull back from something so that you can focus on the God who is actually putting everything together? Is everything that you're doing right now so important that you can't pull back for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and acknowledge God and slow down and stop for just a moment and engage with God and remember He's the one who's orchestrating and putting everything together? Another one that was interesting on why we don't stop, and this one really cut to my heart. So there was a man that was looking into this, and he talks a lot about Sabbath and how important it is for us as people. And he went in to talk to a counselor, and he said, listen, I've been trying to talk to these people, Christian leaders, other business leaders, on the importance of actually pulling back from activity, and I can't get them to buy into it. What's wrong with this? Why are they not doing this? And guess what the counselor told him? He said, they're afraid. He was like, afraid? Afraid of what? He said, they were afraid that if they slowed down long enough, of what they might find. If I slow down and pause my life for just a moment, I might actually have to address what the whip is at my back that's forcing me to do what I'm doing. It's not God, probably. Possibly pleasing people. It's possibly trying to do this for identity, for acceptance of other people. And I don't want to have to deal with that. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep being productive. I'm going to keep being busy because the moment that I stop, I may actually have to deal with heart issues. And so I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to keep being productive and active. I'm going to keep producing. One of the things that Moses was concerned about for these people is he says, by my power, by my might. We'd forget that it's him who gives power to get wealth. When I actually slow down, I can remember those things. I can actually force myself to pause for just a moment and realize, wait a minute. God, I'm taking a moment from everything so that I can actually remember the fact that it's you who's giving me breath right now. And I breathe, and I go, wow, that air tastes really good. God, thank you for it. Man, you feel your own pulse in your chest and go, wow, life. God, the reason that I have life right now, it's because of you. Thank you. I learned to start being grateful for what I have. And what does that all of a sudden produce in me? When I'm starting to be thankful for what I have, that actually prevents me from running after some of the things I don't have, which is so much about this season that we're coming into. I need this. I want that. I got to have this. And it's not even just coming from inside. It's coming from media. It's coming from all different directions that's hitting us that we need something more. Moses was concerned that these people would forget, that they would think that they're getting where they are based on their own strength, that they would forget that it's God's strength that enables them to keep going. They needed to pause and remember and be grateful for what God had done for them. The last one. Actually, I'll challenge you with one more thing. Would you consider with me, at least to the end of the year, what are things that you can actually change that would build into your life moments daily, weekly, and this next month, and maybe even annually, where we intentionally cease productivity during a day? Cease to actually acknowledge God and remember God. Maybe that's in the morning when I first get up and I go, wow, God, I got out of bed this morning. That's a miracle. And that's you. You gave me breath. Wow, God, it's sunny out. I love sunny days. Wow, God, it's snowing. Wow, thank you. There's so many different ways that if I slow down my life and I build into my life this routine where I'm mindful and I'm causing myself to pause and not just pause to cease from activity, but to pause and actually reflect on who God is. That's what Moses was wanting these people to do. Remember God. Remember the one that got you here. Remember the one who's empowering you to do what you're doing right now. What would happen in this community if we all committed to doing something like that? Of reflecting on, man, God, who are you? And look what you've done. Look how you've carried me. Oh, man. We would be thankful. We'd be appreciative of God. We'd be appreciative of one another. Oh, man, it would change this community. What are rhythms that will help you? What are rhythms that will help us with this? Talk about those with your spouse. Talk about those in your community groups. How can we intentionally slow down during a chaotic time so that we don't forget? Because when we forget, the next problem is obedience. It says, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes. See, when I forget, when I don't remember, when I don't slow down, I'm putting myself and others at great risk because that's when my heart is prone to wander, prone to leave the God that I love. When I don't remember, when I don't slow down, I'm drawn away toward other things. Don't do it. Don't do it this season. It's not worth it. Take time to remember. Take time to slow down this season. That is actually the guard against forgetfulness. That's actually your guard against disobedience, is remembering God, slowing down. Would we as a community commit to doing that? See, in Christian culture, one of the things, this word's not a popular word in Christian culture. And I think one of the reasons is we've confused obedience with legalism. We go, well, you can't tell me what to do. That's legalistic. No, do not cheat on your wife. Do not look at pornography. Those are very clear. You need obedience in those things. That's not a matter of legalism. See, what legalism is legalism is about obedience to gain favor with God. If I'm looking at a person to say, you need to obey this so that God will like you more and you'll have more favor with God, you need to be more like me so that you'll have more favor with God and he'll like you more, that is legalism. Obedience is when we look clearly at the mandates and demands that God has for us as people and we go, by God's grace and because he loves us, I will agree that he has my best interest and I will do it to the best of my ability and by God's grace. And we walk forward in obedience to God. And we get to then enjoy the blessing of walking in obedience to God as he reveals himself more to us by walking in obedience. One of the things that we struggle with as a culture here in America, I would even argue even in this church, is that we are spiritually obese. And here's what I mean by that. We love to consume. We love more information. Give me more information. The thing that we don't do well at, and I'm including myself intentionally in this, is acting on what we do know. If we simply acted on what we did know, oh man, that would be where transformation would actually happen in our lives. We'd get to see the grace of God. We'd get to know God better as we start acting on what we do know God wants of us. This passage was about people living what they know. God is a provider. And Moses is asking people to live in light of that reality. Live in light of the fact that God's providing for you by remembering, by pausing, and by obeying. God's solution is to remember. So here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to actually have the ushers grab, we're going to be taking communion together. And here's how communion's going to work this morning. The men are going to come in, and they're going to come down, and we're going to actually pass out the bread and the cup. So you're going to need to juggle two items, all right? So you might need the buddy system in here so that we don't have juice all over the floor and all over you. I know, this could be a little crazy. But I'm going to go ahead and have the men start passing out the bread. Now, for communion, we are a church that practices open communion. So meaning, if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, rose again from the grave, you recognize that you need that because you're a sinner. You not only do I commit sins, but I have a sin nature that is prone to wander from God. And I needed Jesus to die on the cross for my sins because of my rebellion, my rebellious heart. And you've placed your faith in Jesus dying on the cross alone. That's the way that you are able to have favor with God, is through faith. It's not by being a great person, by doing a variety of different things. It's simply by trusting in that sacrifice. If you've done that this morning, you're invited to join in the table. And here's what I'd ask us to do this morning. I'm going to give us a moment to pause, to actually practice what I told us to do, to slow down. And here's what I'd ask you to do. Take a moment to remember what God has done. Observe his grace right now. Pause for a moment. How has God shown his grace to you this morning? Reflect on that. Some may be struggling to remember. To help with this process of remembering, remember how God has maybe protected you from making a shipwreck of your life. Realize that it's God's grace that we aren't as bad as we could be. Remember that. Thank God for that. Remember how God awakened you to the ugliness of your sin. Maybe there's something that God revealed to you this year or recently, and you saw how ugly this sin is, and you came to him humbly before him and saying, man, I need your forgiveness in this. I can't handle this on my own. You realized your own limitation. Maybe some of you have been through a difficult time this season. Remember how God has sustained you through that difficult season. Maybe you've been begging God about something in prayer, something impossible that you knew you couldn't handle. You've just been asking him, and this year you saw an answer to that prayer. That's grace. Maybe you even remember how the gospel came alive. That first moment when you first believed that Jesus died on the cross for you, a desperate sinner. And you remember right now the grace of God toward you through Jesus Christ. Or maybe like Moses was trying to do for these people, is you just think through how he's led, how he's fed, how he's clothed you. And maybe you even remember how he's taking you into this next season of life and he's providing for you in a variety of different ways. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new child. You realize his grace and where he's taking you. I found it interesting in considering the passage behind me, which is Luke 22:19. Each and every time that we partake of this together, what are we forcing ourselves to pause and do? Remember. Remember. Why? It's so easy to forget. So easy to forget. The reason I have forgiveness, the reason I have acceptance with Jesus, it's not because of anything I've done. It's simply because of what he's done for us. And I remember that. I remember what makes me right before God. It's his broken body. It's his shed blood on the cross for us. I remember that. And to collectively, we remember that as a whole. The last thing that I'd ask us to pause and do as you're holding on to the bread and cup is to observe Christ's body. And what do I mean by that? Would you take a moment, and one of the commands that Jesus gave us is that we would love one another. Would you stop here in the church and consider with me for just a moment, are you genuinely thankful for people in this church? Understanding that this too is a part of God's grace. Thankful for Akai and Olivia with worship. Thankful for Atai who does tech. Thankful for greeters who greet you in the morning. Thankful for the nursery and children's workers that come in and give of their life. By God's grace, they're here. They're a gift. We don't deserve the people that are here. Would you pause and remember and thank God for the people here in this church? Other thing that I would ask you is there division or disunity in our body? Are you harboring bitterness? Are you nursing wounds that somebody has given to you here in the church? Here's what's supposed to happen in light of that. Before I take this cup and drink and before I eat, is that just as often as Christ forgave me, what am I commanded to do? Forgive. Not if they've come and talked to me, not if they approach me and say nice things. I am commanded, regardless of what this person has done, I am commanded, as often as Christ forgives me, to forgive that person by God's grace. Have you done that this morning? Are you holding on to wounds from someone? Don't hold on to it anymore. Maybe you need to send a text to that person. Maybe you need to commit to talking to that person right after the service and saying, I've been holding on to something for a long time and I need to say I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? That too is a part of remembering Christ and remembering what he did for us. It now impacts our relationships with one another. That's just as much a part of remembering. Well, one of the last things that we remember during this act is something that Cheryl's mom is celebrating right now. The reign and rule of Jesus Christ. And there's something that she knows in a different way than we even know right now. She knows in a unique way, by experience, that he's coming back. And she's looking forward to that. And by doing this, by remembering Christ, we're actually looking forward. We're remembering the fact that he's coming back. He hasn't left us here all alone. He's coming back. He's going to rescue us and bring us to himself. And actually, he's in the process right now until after the millennium when he finally wraps all things up, where he's in this process of redeeming and restoring all things back to the way it should be, where he is the rightful ruler. And we all acknowledge it. Where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We look forward to that. And that is a part of this process of remembering. There's victory that's coming. Would you stand with me as the worship team is going to be coming up? Stand with me. When we eat and drink of this cup, we're eating and drinking of victory. Victory that is available through Jesus Christ. Would you remember that this morning? Remember victory that is available through him alone. Take and drink in remembrance of him. And eat. Both. My wife's laughing at me. Eat and drink. Father, grace is an amazing thing. It's by grace that you bring us to yourself. It's by grace that a people who have committed treason against you so many times who have abandoned you in so many different ways. It's grace that you would still pursue us. It's grace that you would bring us into a relationship with yourself. It's grace that you sent your son to die on the cross, something that we're going to be celebrating here soon, the incarnation that Jesus took on flesh. He lived among us. We're going to be celebrating that here this next month. Oh, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for his shed blood. Thank you for the people in this room. Father, my prayer for us as a church, we spent a month, a meager month, focusing on Thanksgiving. God, would this be a pivotal point for some people? Would this be a point where we not only take a month, but we now take a lifetime to learn to be a people of praise, to be a people of thanksgiving, to be a people of gratitude? God, forgive us for ingratitude. Forgive us for the times that we don't recognize your grace, for the times that we minimize and we walk by even just the simple things of waking up in the morning, having a heartbeat. We forget the people that are around us. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a loved one. We forget even the job that we have is grace. Or maybe success on a project that we have, whether that's school or work, it's grace. Help us to remember. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.